Exactly. You were just wired that way. Yeah.
100% total empath. And so when I realized for that self-care that, hey, it's okay to take time at night and turn that workout video on, or heck, if I had known, tap into someone like you and your coaching program to build myself back up as a person. Sure. And that time for self-care, what I have found, I carve the time out in the calendar every single day for self-care. And it has made me a better person for all of those people that I cared for over the years. I'm so fresh for them. And my work is even more amazing than ever before. My workout routines are fun because I know it's doing something for someone that I love so much. Hey, you. Guess what? It's me.
Yes.
It's me. Finally.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
Hello, hello, Fix listeners. Welcome to another episode of the Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Huber. We have quite the guest speaker for all of you today. This is one of those episodes might make you tear up a little bit. It's definitely going to get you in your feels. If you've been through any sort of low point, any sort of experience of burnout in your life, this is one that I would urge you, you'll hear me at the end of the episode say it, but I'm going to tell you right in the intro, to take some notes on and also listen to it in a very present state. And I say this with intention because I know for myself, I tend to listen to podcasts while I'm multitasking, like doing things around my apartment, laundry, maybe working at the same time and listening to a podcast instead of music. But this conversation, for you to get the most out of the next 45 plus minutes that you'll listen to, do it going for a walk. Do it when you're able to just listen to Annette's words and her experience. And that is because Annette's really vulnerable here. So to introduce her, obviously, Annette Weiss is today's guest for the podcast. She is a mindset coach and just a really beautiful human. She talked a lot about how she got to where she is today as a mom who realized that she was not putting herself first. And the talk track, the societal pressure of, I need to be the best mom and therefore I need to be selfless and being selfish is not an option. But she realized through losing both of her parents and both very influential people in her life that life is too short, that there were other things she wanted to pursue as both a coach, as a keynote speaker, and a soon-to-be published author. She has a book coming out. The title has not yet been refined, so we will stay tuned to see what it is, but it's a book I certainly can't wait to read. That she's been able to do all these things by doing some deep work. And in this episode, we really define what productive and impactful self-care is. There is, in my opinion, a problem in the wellness industry where self-care is presented as the recovery, the massages, the cold plunges, the saunas, the getting your hair done, the nails, and all those things are great. And I participate in many of them and I'm not poo-pooing them. However, the profound self-care is when you sit with yourself, when you do the deep work, when you, as Annette, you'll hear her describe this, go back into your file cabinet of the things from your past that you've buried down for whatever reason. And if you just explore them, the rest of your life, your outlook can change. And in Annette's case, that led her to a sense of true joy and sheer peace that you will hear through her tone, that if you're listening to this, you'll get, but if you're watching it on YouTube, oh my gosh, you will just feel the energy jump off the screen in the way she speaks, her face, her smile, all of it. She's just a beautifully genuine person. And I really, really loved this. And I know all of you will too. So On that note, let's please give Annette Weiss a very warm welcome to the Fix podcast. And if you're interested in connecting with her, jump to the show notes. Do not miss this opportunity to stay in touch with what she's doing. Maybe even explore some mindset coaching with her. Her work is really cool. Her course sounds fantastic. And she's really helped a lot of people, especially women, but the guys too. So here it is. Enjoy this one.
Annette, welcome to the Fix podcast. I'm so excited to have you today. For all the listeners out there, you guys have heard me reference it already, but I went to an amazing conference in Dallas back in October, and I had the pleasure of just, I think we bumped into each other in the hall, if I remember correctly. I don't even know why we started talking, but we were discussing something and we got into a few minute chat, and I was like, I would love to have you on my podcast. You have such an interesting background. Your coaching is really cool. So we're going to dive into all of it. And thank you so much for being here and taking the time to do this, Annette. But before we do, I have my classic icebreaker question for all of our Fix guests. I'm a big coffee girl, so I love to know if you are a coffee drinker too, and no judgment if not, but tell the Fix listeners what you're sipping on every morning to wake up and get going for the day.
Well, thank you, Krista, first of all, for having me on. And it is such an honor to be on this podcast. And I will always remember how I met you. You had my mom's favorite color on, that magenta outfit. It was so beautiful. So anyway, I wanted to clarify that because I will never forget that.
I appreciate that. Thanks. Yeah, it was like you came up to me and I couldn't remember why. So there we go.
Well, okay, this might sound a little quirky and crazy, but I do love coffee.
Good.
And I always have 2 cups per day.
Nice.
And it's a little bit funky, but it's a organic focus support coffee, and it's ashwagandha and lion's mane.
Love it. Got our nootropics there.
I love it. Yeah, it's good for your central nervous system and, helps you focus all
Great.
Day.
No, that's awesome. And I think, I don't know if it's like a specific brand or if you've kind of just like developed your own way of making it, but I'm not sure if you're familiar with Strong Coffee, but they're a company that makes instant coffee that does include some of those same ingredients. So if you ever wanted to check them out, I highly recommend. I have a friend who's actually the editor of this show, and his company has a podcast network that I'm a part of, my friend Chase. And he is such a proponent of Strong Coffee. He actually, it's kind of funny. He'll go to Starbucks when he's traveling and take the little like instant latte packs that Strong has, and he'll ask them for a cup. And then he'll be like, it's not Starbucks, and like make a joke about it on his Instagram page, which I think is cute. But you know, you got to support the smaller guys for sure. And it really is a great cup of coffee. And I think it's cool when companies can really come up with those hacks of like, hey, let's get you a really nice cup of coffee, but you can make it and take it anywhere on the go. I appreciate those sorts of things.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And I was actually going to preface this with saying, I know you work in a dental practice, so I wasn't sure if you were going to drink coffee. You do have very beautiful teeth over there and they're nice and white. So I was wondering if you were going to tell me that you weren't a coffee drinker for that reason. So I'm happy to hear that. I try to do the whole, like, I'll drink it with a straw. I know that's like somewhat better. I don't know if that's really true. You can give me your take on that, but I love my coffee too much. Just keep brushing your teeth and you'll be good.
Right. Exactly. Just keep brushing them.
Yeah. But anyways, we didn't come here to talk about going to the dentist, because I know that's like your part-time job these days,
that's
and
right.
eventually may not be as much of a focus for you. So we're going to talk about everything else that it is that you do. And just as I mentioned, you have developed a really interesting coaching practice around mindset, around this theme of speaking from a place of I am. And I think that's so strong and powerful. And I want you to break all of that down and to help us dive into this conversation. Before you give us the resume and the details on exactly the type of person you work with and what you do and how you got here, tell the Fix listeners and me why we should care about what Annette Weiss has to say. What are we bringing to the table today, Annette?
Well, this is what I'm bringing to the table, and it makes me feel so important. So anyway, I've had some amazing life experiences. I've been in business, you know, for myself for 27 years, but what I bring to the table ultimately and why it's significant to listen to is because of my actual experience that I've had over the last just couple years, several years, that has shifted me into the whole mindset coaching company. And just my brush with a fork in the road of death or life has been incredible. And that's why it just, there's so many people out there that are struggling or just might have some little glitches they can't seem to move forward in. And that's where I have found the importance, and it's pretty phenomenal, the results that we're getting.
I love that. And, you know, in you sharing that and me doing a little bit of my own research, and when we spoke very briefly at the conference, I started thinking about the presentation that we had seen with ALOC and some of that neural activity and how to think about it. And it definitely, I'm sure that really resonated a lot with you. And there's this idea of being stuck, something that immediately drew me to you after we started talking just about our clothes, right? Was right. Us kind of swapping very brief notes without the full backstory on various traumas. And in my case, leaving a relationship. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show. So let's start there. You, from reading up on your bio and everything, I know that you had two people who seemed like they were very close to you, mentors in your life, who passed away in a short span of time. And it obviously had a big impact on you. So take me back to that experience, if you're willing to, and kind of walk us through how that's then influenced a lot of the decisions that you've made in the last couple of years.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I haven't actually shared this before. So it was both of my parents.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. They were incredible mentors for me. And I'm sorry.
Okay.
They were incredible mentors for me all the way through my life. And my mom was more of my spiritual coach and life coach. And then my dad was my financial mentor. And so
sounds exactly like my parents. I love this already. Keep going.
I love it. I know I love it. And so when they had become ill, first it was my mom. And so I was the designated caretaker because I only worked part time. Mm-hmm. And I already had a lot of empath in me. So I did take care of her for quite a while she was sick, probably about a year and a half, all while maintaining my job and my kids and life with a boyfriend and all that stuff. So after she passed, it was shortly after that, then my father had called. We were talking one day and he said, you know, I just don't feel very good. Well, 11 months from her passing, he passed. And so it was probably 3 months after that I kind of had a crash and burn, and I had to come to terms with, okay, all of this teaching in leadership that I've been in over the last 20 some years.
Yeah.
And how I'm feeling inside, what fork in the road am I going to take right now? Am I going to just roll over and give up, or am I going to pick myself up and live now for my kids and charge the hill forward?
Yeah, I've heard this statement recently a few times, and I'd be curious your take on it, with losing two people who are so close to you and that you had such a profound relationship with, on top of the experience of taking care of somebody and watching them deteriorate like that. I think is so hard. I think a lot of people would argue that it maybe is some of the most difficult part, because you get to a point where it's like, okay, this is it. And I have to watch this. Right. And it's this idea around life is both too short and also really long, in the sense that it's too short that you shouldn't do things that don't light you up, right? Because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. But at the same time, it's also long, in the sense that, same deal, if you're miserable or you're not with the right person or you're not happy where you are, you got to do something about that too, because it's going to keep going. So I'd be curious about your reaction to this statement. It's something I've heard a few times recently. And I think when you experience a loss that's as profound as you did in such a short amount of time, you know, you can kind of feel this and have a different take than maybe somebody who has not yet gone through that kind of loss or trauma. And it's this idea that life is both too short and too long. And usually people only say the first part, right? They're like, oh, life's so short. But I've been hearing somebody repeatedly say the latter as well. And I think it's so true, because it's like, life is really short. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So you should go and chase the things you want to chase, do the things you want to do, but it's also long. So if there's something that you're doing that you don't like, you also have to change it. Relationships, where you live, any of those things. So having had the experiences that you have in the last few years, in particular with your parents, how do you react to that? What's your view?
Oh yeah, that's such a good one. And I do agree with life is too short and at times too long. And so with the life is too short, I had lived in Colorado for 12 years. And when my kids were young, we decided to move back to Michigan because my parents, my whole family was here at the time. So that's my form of life is too short. And it made me realize too, I just wanted to be around them and spend time with them and have that time together. And I'm so glad that I did that too, because with that being said, life was really short. I mean, when my mom became ill, I knew I wanted to spend as much time as I could with her. Then also for my dad, I wanted as much time as I could. And I knew, man, life's too short. It doesn't matter if dinner's not cooked for everybody else. I'm going to be with them, you know?
Yeah.
And so at the same time, that life is too long, that is awesome, because that taps you into the power of I am.
Yeah.
And what is so awesome with that is, you know, I have been in the ministry in organized religion, and I had a great foundation when I was growing up. And after all that had happened through those years and losing my parents, I really began to tap into who is Annette and what does Annette really want? And so when I think of the phrase life is too long, it would have been too long for me had I been going in the same direction that I was, because I wasn't tapped into my passion.
Yeah.
And so having the background of the ministry and then also leading in business developments over the years, I knew that's where my passion was. So life being too long, well, it's not now, because I've tapped into my passion and I'm able to help lives transform through the power of I am with, hey, what is the holdup here for some of these people? Mm-hmm. And let's break into the life transformation like I have had. It's incredible.
I love that. It's beautiful. And I want to make sure that we touch on this, because I did read it when it came up in me prepping for this conversation, but you also just touched on it too, with your example about making sure that, hey, it's not the end of the world if not everybody gets dinner cooked for them. And I know that burnout that you experienced came from a place of what I believe, and I see so much with my clients. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on here, because it totally resonates with our audience, is this idea that women, especially mothers, there's an expectation of being selfless, and there's an expectation that that actually makes you a better mom. I, as a coach, am strongly against that narrative and work really hard with my clients to change that thought process. So much so that what we do through nutrition and fitness is allow them to see that their bad boundaries, their lack of time management because everyone else's needs comes before their own, is both a blessing and a curse. The curse is that they tend to, when they're juggling a lot of plates, what's the first one they drop? The one that they take care of themselves. However, the blessing is that all of the skills that they have that they pour into their children, their job, their spouse, being a sister, whatever role they play, are the same exact skills that they need to lose the body fat and build the confidence, get consistent in the gym, and really look the way they want to feel. So it's helping them see and acknowledge that they already have the answers, but now we need to execute on them. So tell me a little bit more about your experience with that burnout, because I imagine it was maybe twofold. The what transpired with your parents and taking care of your mom, and then recognizing that you could lose anybody like that, that probably gave you the perspective of, okay, like I do need to make a change. But what else did you start to see as you questioned who is Annette, right? And you started to develop a definition of who you are. What were some of the things you were noticing about yourself that maybe you didn't like that much that you wanted to change? Because I imagine it's related to a lot of what I just said.
It is. It is. And that brings me to all three of my kids were grown. And I believe my youngest son was a senior in high school when my dad had passed. So it was a lot of juggling. And well, actually he was just out of high school, I believe. But anyway, regardless of that, I had spent all of those years from the time I was 23 years old forward, I never had time for self-care. And I say I never had time because that's a negative I am statement. I did not. And so shifting that after all of that crash and burn, I was completely overwhelmed, completely burned out. And when I thought, who is Annette? I seriously looked down at my fingernails. I'm like, oh my gosh, I probably haven't even filed my fingernails. Just if I had a snag, I would clip them because I'm in such a hurry to take care of everybody else. And shifting that mindset into self-care, it was a whole life transformation for me. I felt guilty, even though I didn't have my kids necessarily in the house anymore to take care of. Oh, then I was cooking meals for the neighbors or taking food to work or whatever, you know, because I was so in that mode.
Yeah, looking for that purpose, right?
Exactly.
You were just wired that way. Yeah.
100% total empath. And so when I realized for that self-care that, hey, it's okay to take time at night and turn that workout video on, or heck, if I had known, tap into someone like you and your coaching program to build myself back up as a person. Sure. And that time for self-care, what I have found, I carve the time out in the calendar every single day for self-care. And it has made me a better person for all of those people that I cared for over the years. I'm so fresh for them. And my work is even more amazing than ever before. My workout routines are fun because I know it's doing something for someone that I love so much. Hey, you. Guess what? It's me.
Yes.
It's me. Finally.
Seriously, that right there, even if we stop to the rest of the episode, that should be everybody's takeaway. Two parts. What you just said about doing something for somebody you love so much, you. All my ladies that are listening, you guys need to rewind that last 30 seconds and play it again, because it's such an important perspective shift that's really tough. I mean, Annette literally just said that her kids were out of the house and she was searching to still play that role. And I know I have moms out there who can relate to that feeling of feeling lost, right? Because it's like your kids are making this transition. What are you doing for you? And even to take this even further, Annette, let's define self-care. And I want to be really specific about this. You already touched on your example of working out. But one of the reasons why I want to get into this segment of the conversation is because self-care is an interesting thing that's gotten perverted a little bit. And I can already tell that you're talking about more of the tactical. And yes, there's a time and a place for the massage. Don't get me wrong. I love getting my nails done, the hair, all those things. But I imagine your definition of self-care has a little more to do with some of the mental work as well. And I think it's very, very key for the listener to hear that piece and understand that that's where the real work is going to come through and helping you then figure out who the heck that you are. So talk to me about that. You said you put it in your calendar now, but what are those things that you're putting into your calendar and what does it actually look like?
Okay. This is pretty power packed. You just asked a really loaded question. So I'm going to keep it pretty simple.
Yeah. Go for it, girl.
In my calendar, which I don't have to put it in anymore, but I did in the beginning, is the wake up time 10 minutes before I needed to be up. That has went into 2 hours before I need to wake up. So at 4 a.m., my alarm goes off every single morning. And I take that time to first listen to morning meditation. Cool. And those things are different videos like I am statements. I am strong. I am capable. I am worthy. I am free. I am beautiful. I listen to that for 30 minutes before I even get out of my bed. That's a huge part of self-care, and it helps set the tone for the day. Then somewhere in the middle of the day, I take time to just lay flat on my back. And if it's in my current dental office routine. I'm going to give myself away here, but I go into the restroom.
And you do it.
Employee restroom. And I lay on the floor.
That's commitment because it's important to you.
It is. I'll take even 5 minutes to just breathe. And a huge part of self-care is just breathing because I find we hold our breath and it makes our heart rate change. So I do a lot of that kind of stuff. And the whole mindset thing where it shifted for me for self-care was, I keep going back to when I crashed and burned. But for me, not taking that time for self-care, I had to crash and burn to learn
to see the value. Sure. I feel
absolutely.
That. Yeah. I totally feel that.
The biggest thing and the neatest thing I can share with everybody is going into the file cabinet of your past. And it takes some time and it's brutal for some people. And it's things maybe you don't even think of anymore, or you've tucked back so far in the subconscious mind, but it has formed who you are today. And just taking that time, scheduling it in the calendar to be quiet, go somewhere in nature all by yourself. It doesn't matter if it's 20 below zero, bundle up and go sit somewhere, think on things and try and find what it is that's stuck in that subconscious mind to pull it forward so that you can begin living your transformed life and taking care of yourself.
So good. I have so many more questions. I'm not going to lose them. So I'll go in order from some of the things you just touched on. First, you mentioned your wake up time. And I want to underscore and emphasize that you also shared a hack with everybody. And that's listening to the meditation without even getting out of her bed. So for all of you guys out there, myself included, when you wake up and you first start scrolling Instagram, we're giving you something easy. We're not even telling you to put your feet on the floor yet. Just change the way you start the day after you open your eyes and you can still lay there. I love that because I think it's really doable. But the other piece that I think is fascinating, and I'd love for you to kind of walk me through how you did this. You mentioned that you worked backwards from waking up 10 minutes before you really needed to be out of bed to then probably 30 and then to eventually 2 hours. How did you go about doing that and over what period of time? Because I love this for a million reasons, one of which is the fact that when we take our approach to nutrition coaching inside of the Fitness Fix, we always talk to our clients about stair-stepping their goals. For example, if you are currently barely getting 100 grams of protein and we want you to eventually get 160, I'm not having Annette wake up tomorrow and get 160 grams of protein because guess what? She doesn't even know what that looks like. It's a total arbitrary number. How much chicken is that? How many egg whites do you need to make that happen? What kind of Greek yogurt, right? We need to teach you how to get there. And it's okay if that takes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 months. It doesn't matter because life is continuing anyway. So I imagine that same set of principles apply to how you worked backwards to eventually now wake up at 4 a.m. So tell me how you tackled that, because I think that's really, really cool.
Well, how I tackled it was I did just start out with baby steps. And awesome. It actually, that part of my routine did start when I was young. When I first had children,
okay.
I wanted to be up a little bit before they were, because that
I
was
hear that from a lot of our moms.
Time.
Yeah. It's like, when else am I going to have my coffee? For sure. But then wrestle with the fact that you're exhausted. So it takes a level of discipline to do it.
It does. It does. And my mentor, I had a mentor early on in my years, in my 20s. And she said, hey, when nobody ever died from a lack of sleep. So when I heard that, I thought, okay, that's, I love that. And I'm going to hang on to that one.
And a good perspective of how you used it, not to interject here, but I think this is really fun because we talk about getting enough sleep for the sake of, you know, help taking care of your health. And that can be a form of self-care. But I think what she really meant in reading between the lines to you wasn't, hey, you need to go grind it out. It was more, hey, you can find the time to take care of yourself, even if it means losing 20 minutes of sleep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
So how I worked backwards, you know, I just really kind of built up where my first 10 minutes would be meditation.
Okay.
and power of I am and I am statements. And then I would build up, okay, now it's going to be 30 minutes. The first 10 minutes, I'm still in bed in my warm, cozy blankets. And then the next few minutes are going to be, I'm going to go sit on the sofa with a cup of coffee and I'm to read.
Nice.
And then the next I built were meditation, reading, and then journaling. So it progressed. Where it progressed. Yes.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome. It reminds me a lot of, it's a very Mel Robbins-esque approach. I don't know if you've heard of any of her like 5-second rule and all those third things, but there's one in, I believe it was in her book, the one where she walks you through the practice of high-fiving yourself.
Yes.
And the high-five habit. And she tells a story in the first chapter or two where when she went through periods where she was really struggling to get out of bed, this sounds so weird, but it totally makes sense. And I think you could appreciate this. She would actually crawl. So it would be this thing where like she would get out of her bed, but instead of putting her feet on the floor, she'd be like, okay, I'm going to crawl myself to the bathroom and then slowly physically stand up because I know I need to peel myself out of this bed. I know it's ultimately going to make me feel better once I start my day, but I am in a place of struggle. So I need to make this as simple as I possibly can. And it's like waiting till that last second to actually stand up was like her hack to get through it. And then eventually she didn't need to use that tool anymore. But on the really low days, it was the thing that got her moving. And I love how you kind of talked through like the progression of maybe more deep levels of really stimulating work first thing in the morning, right? Like you made it simple, you made it attractive. There's so much of the James Clear Atomic Habits kind of practices shining through in that too, and the way that you built up to what you do with your routine now. But I love that you mentioned that this was something that you started when you were younger. And I also love that that then means if we keep with this timeline, you mentioned about how you really started pouring back into you, redefining who you are once your children were grown and out of the house, you went back to some principles that you might've abandoned at certain points that ultimately led to your burnout. Yeah. And so you kind of knew, like what I was saying before, you did already have the skills inside of you. Now you just needed to execute on them. And as we kind of take the conversation in this direction, I want to make sure I ask you, where did you come up with the I am component for you personally? There's so many different types of affirmations we can do, lots of different types of meditations we can listen to. But for you and where you were in your journey, that fork in the road that you referenced at the beginning of the episode, what was it about these I am statements that were attractive to you or made you feel like this was the path you wanted to go? So much so that it's now really a pillar of your coaching, from what I understand too.
Yeah, 100%. For me, I was raised in organized religion. And so after growing up and then getting into adulthood, there was a time where I was in ministry and I was the women's ministry director, which was an incredible opportunity for me. And so for me, when I had a moment when I reached my burnout where it was like a very divine moment. It'll be in my book, but I went back to the great I am. And for me, that was God, because I was raised knowing the name God and who God was for me. And so the power of I am is the power inside of you. And we all, I think, as human beings can come to the great agreement that there is something way, way more powerful than just us ourselves.
Oh, you know?
And people may not know who that is or what that is, or they may call it the universe or source.
Yeah, any
or whatever. Sure. And you know what? There is power in that I am, and I can meet every single human being right there. And it's incredible. It is incredible, because going into also like what Dr. Rewire teaches, and the power of the brain and the whole neuroscience and the beta waves and all that, with the power of I am, this component that really attracts me to it even more so now in my walk, in my journey in life, is that when we say something out of our mouth, we are telling our brain. And if we say, I am tired, well, guess what? You're going to walk like you're tired. You're going to dress like you're tired. Your hair's going to look like you're tired today. So that component of the power in I am, as I am coaching people and helping them change their mindset, when they are speaking, I help them to recognize what I am statement they might be saying. Like, just becoming aware of that self-talk. There's power in your I am. So when you know there's power in your I am, you can shift it just a twinge, you know, and say, I am capable today. Even though you're tired, but you're telling your brain you are capable today, and your brain is going to follow, and then your body will as well.
I love that. And I love the tie in to how you thought about your experience with organized religion and how that was something you went back to, but then you took it in a different direction too. And I think that's really interesting because I think, you know, I said this to you before we hit record, I have had experiences in my personal life, in personal relationships where, I'll put it this way, what you just said would have been judged like really hard, to the point where there's only one way and there is only one way to look at the role that religion plays. And there are not alternate forms of a higher power that we should be acknowledging. So I think it's really unique to kind of hear your perspective on that, because it is a controversial subject matter in and of itself, but there are a lot of paradigms within different religions. And yet at the same time, they're all rooted in so many of the same exact practices that exactly. I do appreciate kind of hearing that coming from somebody who grew up in that space and also then pursued work in that space too.
Exactly. It is so, you know, it's profound, because if people remain so narrow-minded, most of the population is going to be missed.
Yeah.
And everybody deserves love. And that is my mission in life, just helping people change their mindset and coaching them through life. And so that their power of I am helps them to be the most amazing person that they can possibly be and that they want to be for themselves and others.
For sure. So in going through your own journey, as you started to pour into yourself, as you started to put these principles and self-care practices in place, tell me about, you already referenced it in saying that you showed up better in your work, for your kids, your relationships, all these things, but let's get a little more specific on that. What types of differences did you see in your energy? Did you see in how you were showing up on a regular basis, just to really prove the power of what you were doing? And then I think from there, it'd be a nice segue for us to then talk about your coaching.
Absolutely. Well, what I noticed in mine, what I have said in a previous podcast that I had done and spoke on this part, was for me, I had an instantaneous transformation.
Cool.
I was down by a river and I was feeling so just depleted, and I just had an awakening. I had a vision and for my life, and it's not all juju stuff or anything like that. I just was at the bottom of my pit, and the difference, the huge difference for me is I went running back up those 250 steps with a smile on my face, crying with tears of joy. And I just opposite of going down those steps where I was going down those steps so slow and I could hardly see. I was crying so hard because life was just really not tough. Good in my for me right now. Right then, I'm sorry. But that changed for me. I immediately felt a weight lifted off of me. I felt a freedom inside like I had not felt probably since I was racing my big wheel around in the basement when I was little.
Okay. Yeah.
Just all those life that, things.
Like, childlike. Yeah, sure.
Yes. Just incredible. And the joy inside my heart and remains now is so strong that I smile, and it's not a fake smile. And
you can see it. You can see it on your face. No, it's seriously so genuine. Yeah. Like when you came up to me and you know, and you bringing back up the example of or us like kind of talking through what we were initially discussing. And then within 2 seconds, we had a much deeper conversation. I think that's so representative of your point of how you just shifted like your whole aura and your whole being, that you just have this like warm expression on your face. I can feel it through Zoom, but I also met you in person. So I can really like quantify it and clarify that that is true, that like I didn't know anything about you. And I was like, oh yeah, I went through this whole experience and like I just dumped it out. And like, I'm sure you get that a lot from people with having that empathetic energy, because I see that for myself too as a coach.
Yes, for sure. Yes. And, you know, the other thing that I think is really profound that I need to share, because people,
please,
especially, I mean, men and women both, but I have such a heart for women because I was in women's ministry too,
yeah.
But I love the guys just as much. But what has changed for me so much is I have so much peace in my life, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that every single day, every moment, every new person I meet or person I run into that I hadn't for a long time, is there is no coincidence. It is all divine appointments. It's a divine synchronicity that we need to be taught and people need to be taught. Then, and it makes for such a peaceful life, because we don't have to stress out because we're running 45 minutes late. Yeah. We could have just been prevented from having an accident that was 45 minutes ahead of us.
Totally. And I love that. I was just having this conversation yesterday, slightly different tonality, but same point being made. It's this idea that nothing's ever really that serious, in the sense that, you know, you're working on something in your business, and it was in a marketing meeting. So we were talking about business related topics and CRM systems and landing pages and emails and copy. And the person leading the presentation, who is doing the coaching for us, was saying that they work with individuals who make hundreds of millions of dollars and they're very successful financially. And the ones that have the most success though, and are also the happiest too, and like have this joy that you're describing, there's one in particular that this person was referencing. And he said the biggest lesson he learned from this person that's really influenced this individual's success is him recognizing that nothing's really ever that bad. Like, if you're not living in the middle of a war zone, if you're not dealing with tremendous loss, you have a roof over your head. The fact that your CRM system accidentally sent some emails because you had some automation turned on, that happened to me a week ago, that you didn't want turned on, is not a big deal. And I have spent the last year and a half seeing that power of that in my life, because I've let go of so many of those things and just had a more carefree attitude. And it's opened up so many doors, but it's also helped me find the peace that you're describing. And also with that peace, a sense of self-confidence and just a sense of like this knowing that you're supposed to be doing what you're doing. And at the end of the day, like, it's gonna work. And maybe it's not in the exact time that you expected it to, right? Or maybe the path of getting there looks a little bit different, but you just rest in this peace, like you said, of knowing that it will work out. And that's not meant to be this like woo-woo, everything happens for a reason. And I think that's important to stress, because look at everything you just described that was so intentional. The meditating, the getting up earlier, the journaling, the time reading books, like having coffee, sitting with yourself. I loved the example that you gave earlier about going back into the filing cabinet of all the shit that we ignore and we push down and we don't want to go through. That is not a, oh, let me leave this up to the universe type attitude. That is let me dig in, right? And really try to like look at these parts of myself that maybe I don't love. So that's why I buried them down. And I can really just see that, like I said, that energy from you. But I want to make sure before we keep going, you mentioned that you're walking down these steps and you had this like invigorating moment where it was almost like a flip of a switch. And I don't know that that many people could say that that's how they've seen the transformation in their life. So I think it's really incredible when somebody shares a story like that. and tell me if I'm spoiling something in the book, because I know it does sound like there's going to be some pieces of this. So if you say you want to save it for the book, but I am curious because I don't typically hear that. Like, nobody ever says like, oh, one day I just woke up and it was like, it all changed. And I think the reason nobody says that is because of what I just said. You put in all this work, but I really want to understand from your lens, what was it for you? Like, why did this like change in perspective just all of a sudden go off in that moment where you were, the circumstances, everything?
Yeah. So for me, I went down to my favorite place.
Cool.
And I usually only go there in the summertime because in Michigan it's pretty cold.
Pretty cold. Yeah.
In the wintertime. And it was in February. I think it was November that I actually did that.
Okay.
And so anyway, I was, like I said, I had just had enough, and I was at the end of myself. I was all alone, and I got to the bottom of these steps, and it's like an overlook place, but you can go down and look out. And I said, God, I am not stinking leaving here until this burden is taken from me, because I don't want to live anymore. And you know what? I think when you get to that point in your life, he's like, all right, girlfriend, you're good. You're good. I'm going to show you something really cool. And, you know, it started snowing. And
wow,
I mean, it was a kind of blizzardy out. And I just opened my eyes in the sun. Don't ask me how it shone through the clouds like that, but it was shining so bright on this island that I used to go sit on. And it was incredible. And for me, it was like a miracle, because I had to have a miracle.
Yeah.
And it did take time for that to happen, because I was so active at digging through that filing cabinet. And I'm like, get this out of me, whatever is in here that I tucked away that I don't even know why.
You wanted the change. Yeah, you wanted
it. I wanted that change. Mm-hmm. So, and just a little precursor to the book, it was, I found something in the file cabinet from when I was 13 years old.
Wow.
That I buried and totally forgot about it.
You're giving me chills.
I'm going on 50 this year. So that was a long time to keep it buried. And that's why I say, when you go through the file cabinet, I'll go through more details on how to do that.
Cool.
That's how that happened for me. And not everybody will have an instantaneous transformation just like that, but it's through that study that you'll get it. And that's why I created this whole course, because if you follow it, you're going to have joy. Like you can't even contain it.
I love it. I can really, as you were starting to walk through, you know, the sun and the snow and all those things, I have been in that mental headspace too, of that experience of like, I don't know why I'm here. And I don't know how I got here, even though I knew how I physically got there and like the events that happened in my life, but I just wanted to make sense of them so badly. And I didn't want to feel the way I was feeling at the time. And the only I was at the end of my rope, like you're saying, it's just like, you're like, I can't keep going on this way. And I'm trying so hard not to feel this way. And I even it's funny that I use the word try, because I just actually recorded I did like an Instagram live on this topic of language around trying versus effort. And I find so often with my clients that when they're in the pursuit of losing weight and really trying to make changes, they say, I'm trying. And something I push them to do is say, I'm making an effort, because I think there's a very different distinction in those two sets of phrases. Just because the first almost sounds like a little bit of an excuse, it also sounds like you're more stuck. Whereas the latter of this concept of effort is like, I know I have a path that I can follow. I have the tools that I can use to get there. Maybe some days I don't lean on them enough. Maybe some days I just feel like blech and I don't want to do it. Right. Like, but there's more intention behind the tone of the second statement. And I just remember there was that period in my life where I felt like I was trying, but I wasn't, because I wasn't going anywhere and I was angry and I was stuck. And I got to that point you're describing. I'm just feeling like, I shouldn't be here if this is how I'm going to feel for the next 6 months, year, whatever it is. And I can really, really resonate with that. And I appreciate you sharing that, because I think more people than we realize have moments like that and are uncomfortable to talk about them, which is why I like to talk about it now, because even if just one person listens to the 2 minutes of this last exchange that we've had, maybe it will help them change their perspective. Maybe it's the thing they needed to hear to get unstuck. Because I don't know about you. I don't know if you're a big podcast person. Maybe you're more of a reader from what you've described so far. But the number of podcasts that I listened to in that time and now listen to today as my form of self-care, I joke with a lot of my friends. Most of the women in my mentorship program think that I'm like a podcast junkie. I would argue that a lot of those conversations really saved me and helped me see things from a different perspective, because I didn't want to hear it from my family members. I didn't want to hear it from friends. I just felt like no one could relate to what I was saying. And I believed that, like a total stranger having a conversation with another stranger, I was able to be more removed and more open to listening to it and actually being willing to be coached. I was even resistant. I was in therapy, was super resistant to what the therapist was telling me. It was like, I'm sure you've had this experience. It's where you hear everything the person is saying and you want to so badly do what they're suggesting you do, but you feel frozen and you're so inside your own head. You're like, nope, you just said this. I'm going to counter that argument. Nope, you just said that. That is not true. And when I think back to the way I was like speaking to myself at that time in my life, oh my God, if I had a tape recorder, I would be embarrassed that I allowed myself to talk to myself that way. And I was even saying those things out loud. I would look in the mirror and say the polar opposite of everything that you were just detailing, and that I am strong, I am dedicated, I am beautiful, all these things. I would tear myself down, and I knew that it wasn't good for me, but I couldn't get myself out of that feedback loop. So to bring this back to you, everything you just said, I've been in that exact like headspace, and I didn't have that moment like you're describing, but I did have like a few moments that when I think back on it, the beach is my happy place. I now live a couple blocks away, was living a few blocks away at the time that I was kind of going through the thick of what I just described. And it was the one place that I would go that actually forced me to sit with myself. And I think nice. That's why I did my best thinking. I had my most profound moments, and there were enough conversations that I could have with myself there that even though I was angry, sad, frustrated, confused, I could start to unpack some of the things in the filing cabinet like you're talking about.
100%. And that's really, I mean, everybody is busy, but that, again, I'm sorry, I raised three kids too.
Right.
And maybe people have more, but it is a discipline even to take just a half hour and go, man, what's bugging me?
Like you said, you put this stuff in your calendar. Yeah. So I imagine that's probably a component of the coaching and the coursework that you provide. So tell us more about it. Walk me through. We're kind of like, I feel like we're coming up to the peak, right? Of you had this moment. And where did we go next? Was that the catalyst for you to explore coaching services and dive into this next life that was going to be beyond you being in the dental office? Like, what did that actually look like for you?
Oh gosh. You know, it was after that, then I took myself to Key West.
Hey,
what better
great
way
place to go
to celebrate
from Michigan, girl. Oh, we just talked about the beach. Love it.
So I went to Key West, and there were some divine synchronicities there, or shall I say, people that I met along my journey just to Key West and back to
Michigan.
You were
meant to meet.
That I was meant to meet. And I met one person, and they said, hey, if I never see you again, I want you to know that you are worthy of the best love ever. And never take for granted things that people say, because I was at such a low point still in my life and trying to pull up out of it. But
sure,
that was huge. And so I had called that person when I got back into Michigan, and I said, hey, you know, I know we may never see each other again, but that meant a lot to me. And I've always dreamt of being able to be a public speaker one day. I had done some public speaking in the past, but more on just leadership.
Okay.
And I wanted to do more on the power of I am, because I realized the
more
power
of the mindset piece.
Mindset. Mm-hmm. And so that person's reply was to me, why would you wait? You're ready to speak now. And that was all that it took. And then I thought, okay, so I began the journey of researching, studying, going to conferences, going to the branding events and all of that, just to get started on this journey that I knew was for me. I mean, it's, we know inside ourselves, once we can uncover all of that stuff, how there is an order to it, and you just don't stop. You do a little bit each day. And that's, that's what I love have that. Done to get to this point. Yes.
I really love what you just said. You know, and you don't stop and you just keep going. And so true. It's, and that's also the mindset that's going to get you to keep going through. So you pursue this, you start to develop your coaching practice. You start to think about how you can really turn this into opportunities for speaking and everything. Now take me kind of through in the last months, years, what kind of people are you working with? Who's taking your course? Who is it for? And how has this kind of transpired from where it was when you knew it was a calling and you didn't know what it was going to turn into, but you knew it'd be something, to where you are right now today?
Yes. So I have more women than men, probably. And I think women are a little bit more vulnerable than men to open up like that and to ask for help. So we go through first unloading the file cabinet. And sometimes that takes an extensive amount of time because so many people have been through totally different things in their life. We work on that. We work on setting up a calendar and going through the calendar and finding those little spaces where you can take that reprieve, even if some ladies might have to go in their closet and shut the light off and pretend they're not there.
Sure.
So we'll go through the schedule that way. We do one-on-one coaching appointments like once a week just to touch base and see how they're doing. Inside of these classes, there's worksheets, and I actually customize my own program to help with the different things that people are struggling with. And so I've made the different content that they go through, and then I work with each person individually, and then I might have a worksheet here and there, but it helps draw all that out and then begins to help them shift their mindset so that they can get set on course and then to find their purpose. Like, what is their true purpose? Was my purpose always to work on people's teeth? No, it wasn't. But it's been to meet thousands of people and pour into their life while I'm sitting there with them.
Sure.
So I love being able to help people find their purpose and just to shift that mindset. And before they know it, with, you know, however many, 21 days to create a habit, when they're 21 days on top of listening to how they're speaking, it changes. And it's cool to watch their lives change.
That's amazing. And at what point did you decide you were going to write a book, and where are you at in the process?
So I've had a book on my one book in particular on my heart for 15 years, and that is not the one that I'm writing right now.
Oh, okay. So there's going to be two books in Annette. Number two will come out after number one. Cool.
I have several, and I'm not putting a number on it because we'll see when I'm done.
Cool.
But I am about a week out from it going to editing. So
congrats. That's so exciting.
Super excited for it. And this one is the one that we were talking about a little bit today. This is that book. It's fresh on my mind. It's an amazing story. It's a great teaching. And I think it can be really transformative for people that really desire it. That's why I wanted to get that one out first.
Yeah. Do you have a title for it yet, or are you not married to anything, so you don't want to say?
I did have a title and I changed it. So it's kind of, I have the picture of the cover in my head.
Oh, cool. Okay. But so we went with the visual first.
Yeah. So cool. I have yet for the title.
Okay. Nice. What's been, I mean, I go in slightly different direction, but keeping on this topic of books, what's been the most challenging or maybe even eye-opening about the process of writing it? What has that done for you? Has that been you going through your filing cabinet again? What has that looked like?
Well, the introduction in the first two chapters, I cried the entire way through. And, and you know, I was healed from all of that.
Yeah.
But then to write it for the whole world to see
and
was
think
pretty
about
raw
that
for me.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so, but it meant a lot. And now I can openly talk about what we did right when you came out of the gate and asked about the two mentors. And I thought, oh, geez, here we go. But you know what? I got all that out. It's all
you
over
did.
The paper.
Yeah. So, I love it.
It's easy for me to talk about now because I was able to write it all out too.
Cool. Yeah. And what do you hope you know, in writing a book, and even I typically ask this question at the end of the show in a slightly different way, more about the conversation we had, is like the one takeaway that you want somebody to get from it. But let's tie that into the book. So now being days away from it going to editing, and by the time this episode airs, it will be in the editing process.
Yes.
What if you could boil it down to just one or two takeaways, and maybe it's something you've already said, but worth reiterating, what do you hope people will get out of reading this book?
So what I hope they will get is exactly what I got from walking through the story of the book. And when they close the cover and they're done, they can say, I am free.
Cool. That's beautiful. I love it. When you think back on the journey that you've been through and the ups and downs that you've had, is there, we talked about the moment of you recognizing like, hey, I'm going to change my life. Like I've been called to do this. Is there one, two, it could be a bunch of things, but is there anything that stands out for you, this a thought in particular that you were just holding on to so hard that was keeping you from recognizing that you were free? Like a story that you were telling yourself. Was it one thing, or do you think it was just like years of how your life kind of transpired?
I think it goes back to uncovering my life at 13 years old.
Yeah.
And then it really formed the empath in me. I was already an empath, but it made it like a hyper empath.
Cemented it.
So it did. And so understanding that that's where that came from.
Sure.
That I, you know, that's what really set me free, because I realized, you know what, I was always protecting and protecting and protecting and protecting, taking care of. So everything was always just mellow and good.
Mm-hmm.
But how was Annette doing? Not good.
Yeah.
For a long time. So that's what set me free. And it's, that's why the book's going to be hopefully a life changer for the people, is for the eyes to see and the ears to hear.
Sure. That's super powerful. So powerful. Absolutely. I love it. And like you said, not enough people are taking the time. We say we're too busy. There, you bury things from the past. You don't go back and explore them. You do it out of safety, out of defense, out of survival. So sure. I think you opening up and being vulnerable, even just in this recording today, not just through the book, has the power to be able to help people see that. And I appreciate that. And I can't wait to read it myself. You definitely have me very excited just from the few interactions we've had already. So I am so grateful to have had the chance to meet you. And like you said, we have these interactions with people for a reason. And I know that it's way more than just a podcast episode, because you've helped me talk through a few things today and realize some things that I could go back now and start to explore for myself too. So thank you for
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, before we let you go, because we are coming up on our time here and I want to be respectful of your time, I like to end the episode on a little bit more of a fun, lighter note, and we do a little lightning round. So just like quick, awesome, rapid fire questions that may have nothing to do with what we talked about so far. You ready?
Awesome. I love it.
All right, cool. So we touched on your fitness routine and you mentioned that it's really fun for you. So now I have to know, what do you like to do to work out? Like, what's your routine?
Oh my gosh. I love it. Okay. I am a nut. Deep down, I am a nut. Okay. I love to dance
nice,
all over the house. And sometimes I'll carry around my weights around the house, but I do some Instagram little, you know,
cool
little workouts with these cute little girls that, you know, I don't even know if they're real. They're probably a robot or something.
They're AI generated.
I love to dance around the house. And sometimes when I close the blinds, I even dance naked. So there we have
Hey,
it.
You go, girl. I love that. Amazing. Hey, that's your living in your joy and your truth right there, really shining through
that's
in
right.
all the things
that's
you do.
Right.
So amazing. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, no consequences, like go big or go home, what are we eating?
Oh my gosh. I would totally eat seafood fettuccine.
Very specific. I like it. Is there like a certain restaurant or something in Michigan that makes that really well, that's making that pop up for you? No.
No. There's a lot of places in Florida that I like to visit.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Awesome. If you could go back, this is not a short answer, but I think it's important. If you could go back to that 13-year-old self and say something to her, and maybe you've done this exercise, which is why I'm asking this question. What would you tell her so that you maybe, not that you didn't need to experience the things that you did. You acknowledge this. You said, I needed to go through the things that I went through and hitting that burnout, of course. And I fully agree with that. But if you could just go back and maybe have made that realization sooner, what would you have said to that version of Annette at the time?
Hey, Annette, why don't you focus on school and not snitching beers out of the fridge?
Okay. All right. You're honest.
I enjoyed numbing things with warm other beers things in my closet. You know. So, confession.
It's powerful. Very
That's
powerful.
Way too young, by the way.
Yeah. It's very powerful, though. I appreciate you for sharing that. So, thank you. We talked about like books and podcasts and things. You talked about you journaling. You talked about meditation. For anybody who's listening and might be new to exploring some of those things, do you have any favorites in across any of those categories that you'd want to share?
Oh, like gosh, resources. I certainly do. There's so many. One cool guy that I listened to his podcast and also his YouTube videos. He has passed on now, but it's Dr. Wayne Dyer.
I was going to ask if he influenced you, because when some of his I am statements reminded me of his work.
He is incredible. And also the most current book that I have read that was really impactful for me was Asking It Is Given. And that's by Esther and Jerry Hicks. I have it sitting right here.
Cool.
That one was really powerful for me. And then I also love all of John Maxwell's leadership books. Mm-hmm. If anyone's into leadership, but I do love those too. And then the journaling, I mean, just journaling every day. That's something that's key, because you can let your thoughts out onto paper. And then going back, if I go back 23 years, I can see things that have come to fruition all over in those journals. It's incredible. Yeah.
That's really amazing. That's really cool to see too. And that's the power of writing it down. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. If you're not, I would strongly encourage you to check him out, because it's right in your wheelhouse. Have you read any of Young Pueblo's books?
No.
Oh my gosh. You need to. Okay. There's two. I would recommend first reading. Well, you could read these in either order. His more popular book was his second book. It's called Clarity and Connection. And then his first book was called Inward. If I had to guess from what you shared today, I do think Inward would be more powerful for you and resonating with you, because it's more about self. Clarity and Connection is a little bit more about relationships. I read that after canceling my wedding and engagement and everything. And it could have just been the lens that I had at the time, but I felt that it was more of like a relational to other people sort of book. He has a third book that he published a year ago. It's this prose is different. The first two books that I mentioned, I think you'd really like them. And for any of the listeners as well, I haven't talked about either of these books on the show in a really long time. So I'll link them down in the show notes too, but they're almost like poetry. So there's only like 5 to 7 words on a page sometimes. So you can read them really fast and it does still flow. It's a really cool writing style, but each of the statements are so profound. You like also could read it slow, because you're just going to dog ear every single page. It's such a good, they're such good books. I had the chance to see him speak and get interviewed at like one of those locations in New York, like a Y92 sort of place. And it was really awesome, because he talked about his backstory and his upbringing and the weight that he carried in his life. He kind of had this chip on his shoulder because he was from somewhere in South America. His parents moved here, tried to give him a better life, and they really had nothing. And he was the first generation going to college, all that sort of stuff. Kind of got into like a little bit of a burnout sort of phase in college, smoked a lot of pot, was not showing up in gratitude for what his parents sacrificed for him. And when he had that realization, turned his whole life around, because he was at such a rock bottom. And then he was like, wait a second, like, how could I do this to my family? Like, my parents literally would have died to get me the opportunities that I have been afforded just by coming to the US and the way they fought to do it. So it was really cool to hear all that, because none of that comes through in the book. So now when I read the book again, I have a different lens for why he wrote the things that he did, because it's not his autobiography, but I think you'd really, really like it a lot.
Nice. I'll have to look into those for sure.
You're welcome. And last but certainly not least, the most important question, because everybody is certainly going to want to stay in touch with you after hearing this conversation today. So tell us how we can connect with you. Where can we find you on social media, your website, all those things, which of course I will link down in the show notes as well.
Absolutely. So I am on Instagram. It's at Annette, A-N-N-E-T-T-E underscore Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, number one. And I have the links on there to get into my website, which is AnnetteWeiss.co. And from there, people can schedule appointments and all that, and let's chat buttons. So we can
beautiful.
Talk.
Well, yeah, great.
It's wonderful.
I'm so excited for everything you're doing and for us to continue to collaborate. And just again, thank you so much for your vulnerability, for sharing, for being open, for walking everybody through your journey. I know this conversation will have a big impact on the Fix listeners, and I'm very grateful to have been able to facilitate it and for us to get this on the calendar. So with everybody listening today, I would encourage you to maybe listen to this episode twice, because I think there's a lot in here that if you listen to it more than once, or maybe even listen to it at different points, right? I think this would be one of those really cool conversations that listen to it now, take it in, take from it what you will, and then maybe it comes back up again for you 6 months from now, whether you're doing some work or you're going through some sort of experience and you might find value in it. You might listen to it a different way, but I think it's one of those that there's a lot of tools in here and a lot to unpack and something you definitely want to take notes on. So worth going back through. So Annette, thank you again for tuning in and everybody out there for listening to this conversation. But as you guys know, we really appreciate if you leave a review and if you connect with Annette, because that is the way that we can spread her message. Super easy to leave a review on the show if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, because most of you from my data tend to listen there. Scroll all the way down to the bottom of the episode or go to the actual show page. For whatever reason, Apple makes this hard, and it doesn't have to be. No one can ever find the spot to leave a review. So you're going to scroll all the way to the bottom. You'll see the stars. Tap, of course, the 5 stars. That helps Annette's message get spread. That helps other people who may be interested in the Fix podcast get connected to it. So we would truly appreciate the 2 seconds it takes for you to go ahead and do that. And then most importantly, share this with somebody. If it impacted you, it'll likely impact somebody else in your life. Copy the link, shoot them the text. It's a great way to open up a conversation if you're having trouble having certain conversations with people and to get these ideas going. So with all of that, from wherever you're listening from, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us. And we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.